From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Commodity Week, the March 23rd edition. The market is fading, with old crop corn and new and old crop wheat posting outside down weeks into the chart. Still, we're hearing about end users urging farmers to plant early and short. We'll try to make sense of all the confusion today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She's in Webster City, Iowa. Our panelists today include Matt Bennett of TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there, including the daily pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports at willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
All right, let's start a discussion with this question. We have heard several times about end users asking producers to plant 85 and 90-day corn and to put it in early in order to do, I'm not quite certain what. What do you think of that as an idea for both the marketplace and marketing? We'll start with you.
Well, if I was talking to a producer about that, I would simply say if you can get in the field and you have the comfort level to go ahead and go in the next 10 days, you know, before the insurance price, go ahead and go at it and plant what you were going to plant. Because if you're going to shorten your hybrid to 85 or 90 days, there's no question that there's some yield loss there, just, you know, flat out from the genetics. So I would certainly be planting the normal genetics. And you got to understand that with a normal summer, if you're planting on the 1st of April, you're going to be having corn come in, you know, pretty decent time frame. You're still going to be picking corn early September at the latest.
I want to reword this just slightly. So what happens to all those Vegas bets if enough harvest is early enough to get by and they actually get the 85 or 90-day corn?
I don't think anybody's going to plant this or 85, 90-day corn. It's baloney. 40, 50 bushel less yield. You just defeated the purpose. Plant regular corn and you'll be harvesting early if you plant right away.
That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. Mike Zuzlo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Well, I think the cash rents would say Pete is right on the money, Todd. I don't think you can afford to have a lower yielding, shorter variety corn given what type of cost structure we're at this year and given the fact that we are dealing with just barely over 520 cash corn for the new crop fall delivery. So I think most of the producers I've spoken with really are expecting big yields, so they're going to go after the more racehorse, longer germination hybrids. Maybe the September corn's caught wind of that because it's been falling like a rock in relation to the other contracts here the last week or so. We're down about 33 cents for the week in September corn. So I think something's up in Chicago. They maybe know about what you're asking.
Well, would it be that, even if they put in their normal season, but they're early enough, wouldn't that do the same thing, that you would drop that September and then maybe something might happen in basis too?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could get there as far as gross revenue per acre if you have good yields and you keep this kind of price in September. I think the key point I would make is you better get the September locked in at this stage, because if you go back to a carrying charge market, you're not going to be able to handle that gross revenue as well.
Matt Bennett?
Yeah, in much of the areas, such as in central Illinois, you're looking at 110 to 114, 15-day corn as being your racehorse numbers. But don't fool yourself in that most farmers haven't been able to get 100% of exactly what they wanted anyway. So a lot of guys are planting 107 and 108 and 109-day corn. That's still awfully good corn, but it might not quite be what you would, you know, typically call your racehorse numbers. So, you know, you got to realize there's a lot of different numbers that are going to be out there. Guys aren't getting all the corn that they necessarily want to get this year, and it's going to be a situation where if they're planting this early still, it's still going to be harvested very early, relatively speaking.
In Chicago this week, the May contract for the corn had a high price at $6.75 3/4. Its low was $6.36 3/4. Settlement price at $6.46 1/2, 26.5 cents lower. That was an outside down week in Chicago for the old crop corn. New crop did not post an outside down week, but it was awfully close. The top was actually the same as last week's top. Otherwise, it would have had an outside down week. December corn, a $5.57 1/2 cent settlement price. Friday to Friday, the close was 16 3/4 of a cent lower. Remember, we give you the day, an evening open outcry and electronic trade for the full week in our spreads. So when you look at the technical side of the market, does it tell you that this marketplace is thinking, hey, wait a second, maybe there is enough corn out there? It's really debatable as to what's happening, I think, at this point.
I think a big part of it this week was two different days when we were down a ton. There was all kind of worry about China going down the tube. And I think today, Friday, that worry was not as bad. And as a result, we came back some. But, you know, we hit 575 on Monday on new crop and closed 17 lower from that. Well, that was the same high as last week. Old crop, we lost 30 cents, 40 cents even. And two different days, we were down hard because China's going down the tube, and I think that was a lot of it. I still think there's lots of people think we're very tight. Old crop corn, that new crop corn is going to be, you better get it covered.
December corn, that $5.75 mark is just a booger to get through. This is the third time we've tried it.
Yeah, there's no question. It's third time you tried it. Also, whenever you stop and look at this thing, whenever you're talking corn and beans right now, when you're talking new crop, what's the ratio? You know, obviously beans have really performed very well. And for me, I don't see the corn maybe just dropping off the face of the earth as long as beans are still where they're at. There's no question about it that, you know, bean acreage is going to be a little bit more important considering what happened in South America. And so there's a lot of pressure on beans. And I think that there's no question corn is going to stay fairly well supported. But getting through that 575 mark is probably going to take some sort of a weather, you know, a weather disturbance.
Mike, were you impressed by the outside downs in corn and then in both old and new crop wheat as well?
Yeah, I think your old crop price, you give a good point. It's very vulnerable. I'm not writing it off, obviously, because of the report coming up and the stocks report especially, but you don't want to see the July D's corn spread collapse, and 85 cents has been very good support. There's a nice trend line drawn off some of the major lows in that spread, Todd. So July D's corn below 85 after the report comes out would add another piece of the puzzle that you're losing your front-end leadership. I think the interesting part about this past week, I think Pete touched on it with China, but the demand leader to the upside as far as the weekly export sales goes continues to be, and I think this is the third or fourth week in a row, it continues to be the corn, not the beans, but yet the trade continues to work so aggressively on the supply side of beans because of the acreage report. If the beans go up, they're either following corn, or on the demand side, they're either following corn, or if it's on the supply side, beans are leading the charge, and they're buying beans and selling corn. I don't know how many months I've heard traders in Chicago tell me, well, the funds feel comfortable, intermarket spreading, why change a good thing?
So when we get to the end of the month, of course, we will have a stocks report, and we'll also have the acreage report. Farm futures this week said 95.1 million acres for corn. Do you have any good guesses, Mike?
I don't think it's going to be that high unless we have really good weather. It doesn't mean USDA won't say that, but I'm still of the mindset that without perfect weather, it's going to be extremely hard to get big acres and big yield. I'm more close to the 94 million for the estimate I sent to the news wires.
I think a big factor is just going to flat out be timing. I think that if we can get in the next 10 days. I'm kind of with Mike on that 94 number, but if we can get in the next 10 days, there's going to be a few acres that are probably going to get coaxed to go ahead and come into corn. Now, guys are kind of scratching their head at this point, though, if they can sell $13 beans right out of the field, which is, you know, we're still banging on that door, and we've been to 13 a couple of times. It's pretty tough to tell a guy, you know what, let's go ahead and throw $400 an acre into a corn crop whenever you can sell, you know, your bean crop for 13 bucks right out of the field, and it's only $100 at the most, you know, to put that crop out. So it's going to be in the back of a lot of guys' minds.
I think the bean price is helping maybe that saying, but I think we're going to be bigger than 94. If you'll remember, last year the estimate was 96, and we didn't get it planted due to weather. This year we've had such good weather. Once we start, it's going to go kaboom, and we're going to have planting everywhere, like the fourth week of planting, where you get 40% planted in 1 week, and that could start here next week.
I think, and I agree with you, Pete, I think the biggest thing right now is getting in the field. And if we do get in the field, I think I'm looking for more than 94 for sure. If we have any sort of, you know, say we turn off wet in the next 10 days and guys are waiting on the insurance deal, and I do think that it's going to be really hard to get a guy to switch, you know, a field he might have went to beans on back to corn, you know, considering what the price ratios are at this point.
Did you read what Darryl Good wrote earlier in the week about planting dates as it relates to Emerson Nafziger studies, and that a March crop didn't particularly perform that well? I suppose we all know plenty of farmers who have in this area put March corn in and hasn't shown all that great of prospects as it makes it out. Is it really worth putting the planter down in the ground?
I think the most important thing from a producer standpoint is not necessarily always just the date, but for instance, this next week, Todd, if we can get in, most guys have planted April 1st or in the first week of April pretty regularly in the last several years, but if the ground is working right and you're not working with wet soils and you're not, you know, having marginal environment, that's the most important thing. If you can get the crop put in the ground with a good seed bed, you know what? If you've got 10-day window without any heavy rain coming up, guys would be better off to go ahead and do that a week earlier than normal than to sit around and wait on, you know, April 1st just because of the date.
And the soil temperature's already there. We're not putting it into cold ground. And that's what you usually wait for, is for the ground to warm up. And that's why a lot of guys never plant till after April 10th. We've got 60-degree ground out there.
Mm-hmm. So if you make this decision, and this is one of those decisions that I'm looking at and thinking it might be kind of like planting wheat in the fall, that the reason you're doing it is you think you're going to get a premium of some sort up front, maybe for an early ship or thereabouts. Do you pull the trigger on some new crop sales at that point? And Mike, maybe we should start with you.
Yeah, I think you do. I think what Pete's talking about there and Matt's talking about there is that you get the acres in, and we all know in today's genetics that first 8 to 12 inches of growth is really what makes the crop. And if you have a good stand, that would suggest, along with the seasonality and along with the way the spread trade has been spreading, you would push corn down as hard as you could. But that would also, I think, ultimately open the door for an early low, like a major low by the middle end of May as well, Todd. So that's kind of how I'm going to play it with the clients and producers I work with, is, okay, how fast do we get in the ground? Do we get any kind of really sharp, cold spell that really slows down that first to 8, 12 inches of growth? If not, and it looks great going in and the first 45 days look wonderful, that should be most of the pressure. And then if we get down, say, around the $5 December futures level, I'll pull hedges and say, that's good enough for me. Let's see how the midsummer treats us.
So I'll pull both of you, and then we'll move on to soybeans very quickly. You agree that if we get moving quick, that we'll have an early low? And he suggests, man, that sounds like an early low.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue with that. I think there's no question that, you know, the acreage number, we've had a lot of big numbers thrown at us, but the most important thing is the timeliness of planting. That's what's most important. And I think if we're really timely and the bulk of the corn is planted by the third week of April, there's no question corn's going to undergo an intense amount of pressure.
And it's mental attitude. If we plant all this corn early, the idea is, oh, we're going to have a big crop. But more than acres, yield per acre means more. If you have 5 bushel less per acre or 5 bushel more, that makes more carry out or less. So I think what he's saying is that early low, and then we'll see whether we do have good weather for the summer.
Let's take a look at the numbers from the soy complex as they finished up for the week. The May contract in the beans, $13.78 for the high, the low at $13.38.5. The settlement price at $13.65.75, week over week, down 8.25 cents. November beans at $13.22.5, down 5.75 cents. Mike, you sent me an interesting little piece earlier in the day on Friday, taking a look at how things have changed and what rationing really happens in the bean market. Can you explain that, please?
Well, the original thought by doing this analysis, Todd, was what were we doing last year at this time in lead month beans and also in new crop beans. And last year at this time period, lead month beans were at $13.72, almost identical to where we are right now. and then by the March 31st report, we had made a high of 14.10. So we were able to scoot up another 35 to 40 cents going into the report. And I went back and looked at how much premium probably is in the bean crop right now or in the bean price right now because of all this talk about South America. Well, what I honestly stumbled upon was in the 2010 marketing year, USDA right now has just under an 80 million metric ton carryover for world oil seeds. A year ago in March, that number was 68 million. And so we have literally jumped 15, 16 million metric tons in a year. And that does suggest some rationing. And it also makes sense why we're traveling at the same speed and pace in the bean price that we were a year ago today.
Just proof that rationing can happen in the marketplace. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our panelists include Mike Zuzulo, Pete Manhart, and Matt Bennett. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Sue Martin at Ag and Investment Services in Webster City, Iowa. Here's the weekend forecast for the state of Illinois. Northern Illinois, a 30% chance of showers on Saturday. It'll be mostly cloudy for the day with a high of 69 degrees, northwest wind at about 5 miles an hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy in that area of the state, a low of 50 with a north wind at about 5. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny skies in northern Illinois with a high of 71 degrees. A north-northwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. A low of 43 Sunday evening, mostly sunny on Monday with a high of 58 degrees in the central part of the state. We'll start Saturday with a 40% chance of showers. It'll be mostly cloudy, a high of 70 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 53. And on Sunday, sunny in the central part of the state with a high of 76 degrees with a north-northwest wind at 5 to 8. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 50. And on Monday, sunny skies and a high near 69 degrees. In southern Illinois, scattered showers throughout the day. Saturday, a few thunderstorms too. Those will be possible after 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies though. A high of 65 degrees with a west wind on Saturday at 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation in southern Illinois set at 40%. Saturday night, a chance of showers after 7 o'clock in the evening. A low of 48 degrees with a northwest wind at 3 to 5. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies in the south with a high of 72 degrees. Sunday night, clear and 49. And on Monday, sunny skies and a high of 72 degrees in the southern part of our state. And that's a look at the weekend weather forecast. I'm Yield by Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the March 23 edition of Commodity Week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in studio with us today. Matt Bennett and Pete Manhart on the phone line. Mike Zuzulo. And in Webster City, Iowa, our guest, Sue Martin, now joins us to take up the commodity markets. Good afternoon to you, Sue. Thanks for taking the time with us. We've been busy here in our part of the world, at least farmers have, scratching the ground, even doing a little planting. How about in your part of the world? You're quite a ways north of us.
Well, first off, in our area here, I would say there isn't much being done. If there's any being done, it's probably some farmer that didn't get something done last fall because our weather was so ideal. And for the most part, farmers got all their anhydrous on, you name it. So they're ready to go. All they have to do is just basically work the ground in front of the planter, and they're doing good. But, you know, you go on down towards Des Moines and further south, and I do hear of farmers being in the field and doing some work. Not too much yet in the way of any corn planting, but I wouldn't be surprised, Lord, if we were to be in the 80s next week, and there is a forecast of warmer weather coming, again, starting Sunday, that I would suspect farmers will start to get the itch the closer you get to that April 1st, and they're going to start working.
Yeah, Sue, Matt Bennett here. I'm just wondering if you think coming up on this report or which report in the future, if you even think it'll happen, that the USDA might change the conversion factor on the ethanol grind. I've read a couple of pieces suggesting that that might be, you know, maybe some of the thoughts of some of the traders that that might be something that could possibly happen. I was just wondering your opinion on it.
Well, I think that they may. I think that another thing that we're seeing is the fact that, and I know Poet's doing this, is where they're taking the grind and they're taking the moisture count down to anywhere to 8 to 10%. And that allows them to sell more corn oil. But what it also does is it allows this feed, the cattle do quite well on it. Maybe there's less energy in it, and they maybe feed more of it. But in the meantime, it's also then more palatable and more digestible for chickens and hogs. And so what it does indirectly is it replaces soybean meal. You don't need near the soybean meal for the livestock if you do that. And I'm seeing a big shift towards that, especially up in the ethanol plants in our area and Minnesota.
What do you expect for planting ratio out there as far as corn to beans? Are people going to plant more corn in your area or stay with what they've been doing?
They're going to go more corn. We're seeing a lot of it, but we noticed it last fall, just a tremendous amount of fertilizer going on acres that had been beans, and or I should say had been corn, and had never been corn on corn before. So we're going to see more corn acres in Iowa, and I'm hearing it in Minnesota. In fact, you know, we've had some, you know, rumblings about some corn seed being sent back and farmers changing their mind to beans, but I'm not sure I believe it in our area and not in Minnesota either. On into Nebraska, I've called around, and from what I'm hearing from seed dealers is that, if anything, they're getting calls from producers that have never bought from them before looking for better seed or for corn. And so I don't see it. I don't think that we're going towards more bean acres yet in our area here, and not into Minnesota nor into Nebraska either. Now, maybe on the Illinois side, maybe you guys are going to stay just a little bit more towards the traditional rotation that you have, maybe pick up some corn acres, but I know west of the Mississippi, I don't think we're looking at, you know, doing our normal rotation. I think we're going to garner more corn acres.
Sue, from a standpoint of 2011 corn in the bin unsold, Todd kind of made a reference to this about the stocks report, and it's been a big discussion here in this part of the country about what farmers are sitting on given the spreads and the basis. What do you see as far as what's held right now in 2011 going into planting in your areas?
I think it's only about 20-25%. And, you know, I think that's the big key as to what happens to this corn market because of the way we're coiling and in this triangle. And then when you look at the weekly charts, the formation that we have, I think that's the key as to how much old crop corn really is out there unsold. Ethanol plants started pulling in May contracts. I don't think they would have done that if it hadn't been for the good weather. But all of a sudden, they started realizing maybe, you know, we aren't going to have as much of a, you know, farmers are so busy they can't ship us something in May. But if they get busy here in the latter part of March and April, we might not see anything. And so all of a sudden, they started pulling the contracts forward again. We do have some piles sitting on the ground out here, not a lot, but there are some at some elevators that are covered. And from my understanding is those are sold. So I, you know, talking around, especially if it's a larger producer, a lot of them have sold a major portion of their crop. I was at an accountant here, of course, tax season, and he handles a lot of our larger farmers in our area. And so I asked him, I said, who better to know than their accountant what they've got? And I asked him what he thought the farmer was holding, and he said, to be honest with you, I think it's less than you would be thinking. He says, there's bins out here that you would think is full of corn, and there's none in them.
Well, are you thinking then you'll come up short at the end of the season?
What I'm thinking is that you get into June, and there's going to be a real big pull for corn, June towards July. Now, the problem is, if you get too far into July, then at some point there's going to be a little bit of a hand-to-mouth situation because harvest is going to probably come earlier, too, with as early as the crop is going in, and they'll be able to get a hold of some corn. But the logistics of where corn's going to be, you know, if you're needing corn in June or you're taking delivery in May or whatever you're doing, you're not going to be guaranteed you're going to get it where you think you're going to get it. I think that the problem is that the supply of corn is indeed very, very tight, and I think if that is the case, then I think what's happening is I think the market is coming down. I think it's going to head fake us, and take out the triangle trend line to the downside rather than the upside. We're going to come down, take that out, even in, with the July futures. Take a look at the January low. We might tag it a little bit, but I think we're going to take a look at that. And that's 605 on July corn. The demand will be huge at those prices, but I think what's going to happen is it's going to shock everybody that that's what's happening to the old crop corn. And then all of a sudden it stops and it just starts coming right straight on up, and we see higher highs for this year in June.
Given what you just said, and given that you're thinking that the acreage is going to be bigger west of the Mississippi, I got a twofold question, I guess. First of all, what do you think the acreage nationwide will come out at next week? And then the second thing, I've heard a lot about, you know, the western corn belt being dry, and what a lot of guys are really worried, I guess, about, you know, the potential for drought, of course, starting the year fairly dry. I know there's been some moisture in parts of the western corn belt recently, but what's your opinion on that? And then what would you talk to your producers about marketing decisions based upon those two things?
Well, I guess I would say, first off, I've been a 95 million acre person for quite some time. And I will say, farmers that have a lot of acres to plant may get with the program and start planting some of those acres if this weather holds. What's interesting is that I'm hearing a little bit of talk by a few weather forecasters that it might start to come out more next week, because I'm hearing that you get around the 4th, 8th of April, there's talk of a cold snap coming through that the eastern half of Illinois will run, and on into Indiana will run about 36 degrees. And then the western half of Illinois, and that would be around 32 degrees. And then on into Iowa is going to run around 26 to 32 degrees. If that happens and farmers have stepped in up to the plate and planted, you know, as warm as we've been, I think soil temperatures are warmer. It isn't going to take long for these, you know, this corn to germinate and be out of the ground. It's, you know, that's the key, is if something like that does happen. And according to Dr. Ellen Taylor, just this week he put out a little snippet, I think, on a website that only one time in the last 100 years, was the year of 1946, did we have a perfect year where you could plant at this time and you would have made it through just beautifully without a frost freeze. So, you know, the odds are against us, but if that did occur, if we did get a frost freeze, you know, you aren't going to get the seeds to replant. You'll have to go to soybean.
Sue, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, and you all have a great day.
You
too. Be kind to each other.
Well, they'll try to be. Thanks so much. Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services. She's in Webster City, Iowa. Now, a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Matt Bennett.
I just keep in mind that there's a whole lot of volatility in this marketplace, and as you go to the field, I hope that your comfort level with your sales are where you would like to be.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
The risk is all to the downside. Make sure you got that covered. You can leave the top open, but... If you haven't got anything sold on bounces, I'd be selling some.
And Mike Zuzalo.
Let's watch the acreage report for a surprise on a low corn number and possibly a larger bean number.
That wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
From AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.